Had to get up last night at 2 a.m., you know, and I couldn't get a wink since, Nathan. So here I am. But he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I guess it beats being in jail or Siberia or something like that. So let's get Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3 as we continue. I think this is around lesson 22 or so. I usually lose count. He sailed a long way to get to the place he is now, and he just preached his eight-word sermon, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And it says in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. And he laid, this is a heathen nation. This would be like Cuomo repenting. And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell? It's a good thing to live by. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? That should have been what Jonah said. Who can tell? God saw their works. And they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the personified word, and thank you for the King James Bible, the written word. And Lord, we need your spirit. We need your help. We are an unclean people, dwell in the midst of unclean people of unclean lips, for our eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Lord, give each and everyone what we need today. Lord, pray for our missionaries around the world. You give them a little fruit for their labor today, Lord, that their labor be not in vain. Pray for our sister churches around the country. Pray for our state, our government. Lord, I'm glad you're still on the throne. I'm glad you got it all under control. And Lord, in the end, you'll be the victor when they be singing that song, just like those sisters sang there. It'll be too late. Lord, I'm glad I'm in. Glad a bunch of these folks here are in. If anyone here is not in, not saved, doesn't know if they died today where their eternal soul would live forever, I pray today the day they be saved. Bless your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. To that text in Jonah, I say, wow. Preaching worked on a large scale. No gimmicks. No bait and switch, no carnal enticements, and really kind of a rough sermon. An entire city, which historians tell us about 120,000 people from the king on down, repented and turned to God. And if you're a believer and you have an ounce of care for the eternal souls of men, women, boys, and girls, and you've ever done any kind of personal work or maybe public evangelism or tried to witness to friends and co-workers, this portion of Scripture ought to thrill your soul. In one way, in another way, just give you a godly envy and jealousy for what just happened there, especially living in 2020 in upstate New York. It's not like you see it every day. Seemed like in our day we plow the fields with the gospel, we seed the fields with the gospel, we water and fertilize the fields with the gospel, and we just jump up and down and praise God to glean just one soul. If it were a whole year, we'd thank God. But you read a text like this, and it seems like you could only dream of preaching working like this. Go to Acts chapter 2, New Testament, Acts chapter 2. I'm not afraid of verse 38. In fact, we'll start in verse 37, Acts 8:37. If you have a Modern Bible, it's probably not in there, but it says, and when they heard this, they were pricked to their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. From this, just say, why did he say that? Because that's what God told him to say. That's what the Lord said. Preach the gospel and baptize them. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about how many? To that I say, wow. Preaching worked on a large scale, no gimmicks, no bait and switch, no carnal enticements. Acts chapter 4. Verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hold unto the next day, for it was eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about how many? Phew. And to that I say, wow. Preaching worked on a large scale, no gimmicks, no bait and switch, no carnal enticements. Wouldn't you like to see something like that today? I mean, we got the same word, we got the same spirit, we got the same God, we got the same commission, we got the same gospel. Doesn't preaching work like that anymore? I asked myself, and I meditated on that. And upon further meditation, I came to a conclusion and title of this message. Well, the first part's not in the title, but, hey, dummy, that's God's pet name for me. Preaching always works. First of all, how we use the word works. Because I hope I'm getting my grammar right. You know, it's way far from my ear. But I think it's work, and works is a homonym. I thought that was what the Southerners eat. Grits, you know. Two words that are spelled the same and sound the same but have different meanings. Under the definition, people work. They labor. They have a job. Watch. But working as a machine or system, it's to operate or function especially properly or effectively. Watch. His cell phone doesn't work unless he gets to a high point. Watch. I worked on the broken dishwasher, labor, then plugged it in and it worked. It functioned properly or effectively. So here's 2 points when we say, man, I wish preaching worked like that today. When we say, wow, in Jonah's day, the preaching really worked. We're using it in the second sense of the word as what we would view as effectively. All those 120,000 people effectively. And when we do that, we really rob God and we limit a whole lot of work that is going on when we preach and people don't get respond on a large scale. When we limit our definition to what works, to that end of the definition, to work properly and effectively, i.e. a whole bunch of people got saved when he preached. If you limit and put God in that box, your ends is going to start to justify your means. Because instead of the Bible determining your method, now what you perceive as what works. Holding someone at gunpoint might work. but we don't incorporate it. So that's where we come in with our modern church today of gimmicks and bait and switch and carnal enticements and compromise. But listen, preaching always works. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 1:21. We'll be flipping around the Bible a little bit today. See if we can't expand our horizons. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, too smart for their own good. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Number one, preaching works in that it pleases God. What is preaching, in case you don't know? It's verbally communicating the gospel or the truths of the Word of God. In the sense of the gospel, it's verbally communicating man, woman, boy, girl. We're not talking about a pastor in a pulpit. We're talking about Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now listen, if there's unsaved people in this room today, I just preached the gospel. And if they didn't respond and you asked me, did the preaching work? I'd say, oh yeah, it worked. Oh, they got saved? No, they didn't get saved. It didn't work in that sense. But it worked in another sense. One element is that it pleased God. How on God's earth does Larry Craft, for the last 20 years, run up and down this country with a bus full of kids preaching in the most horrendous places with very little response? I mean, does he ever say to himself, this isn't working? Well, if he limited it to that one little element and a whole lot of elements of the definition of working, he's going to quit. He's not going to continue. But if he goes home to himself and says, preaching worked again. How did it work, honey? It worked in that it pleased God. Preaching works in that it pleases God. Ezekiel 3, Acts 20. Jeremiah, Lamentations, then Ezekiel. Part of your major prophets. Going to be after the Psalms. I'm just talking to myself. I'm not telling you this stuff because I lost it too. Ezekiel 3 and Acts 20. Watch this. Acts 3:16. You're all familiar with this if you've been saved any length of time. Came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, this is what preachers are supposed to do. Hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now go over to Acts, in case you think, well, that's just Old Testament. Acts chapter 20. Verse 25, our dearly beloved Paul again. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Preaching works in that it pleases God. Number two, preaching works in that it sounds an alarm and gets the blood off of our hands for the redemption of their soul. I'm going to tell something today I don't think any of you know. Maybe even my best friend over there. I was offered a job out of college at the Ginna Nuclear Power Plant. or as Chuck Zander would say, nuclear power plant. I was offered a job as a process control technician. Don't you feel good that I didn't take that job? I mean, would you want a guy that didn't know how to spell nuclear or technician to be a process control technician? Part of Gnae's procedures out there, by the way, for you that don't know, we're just up on the lake here a ways in Ontario County, they have a public notification system, sirens. Gnae Nuclear Power Plant will perform a test of its public notification system between 9:30 and 10 a.m. on Tuesday, May 7th. The test will involve sounding all 96 sirens in Gnae's 10-mile radius for 3 to 5 minutes. That'll be coming up in May. They do it, I think, 3 or 4 times a year. Now, if you lived out there and on May 7th, you went through the test, and I called you on May 8th, and I said, "Hey, did the alarms work?" And all 96 sirens in the 10-mile radius, when they pushed a button, went, what would your response be? Did they work? You would say yes. Now, let me give you some instructions in the event of a nuclear emergency. I love Chuck Zander. Get inside a building right away. If you can, get to a brick or concrete multi-story building or basement within a few minutes, go there. But being inside any building is safer than being outside. Once inside, go to the basement or the middle of the building. Radioactive material settles on the outside of the building. So the best thing to do is stay as far away from the walls and roof of the building as you can. Now, in light of that element, if I said to you, "Hey, they had the test yesterday. Did the sirens work?" Well, On one hand, yeah, they worked, but you know what? People were out washing their car and laying in the sun and driving up and down. And in fact, they gathered to up on the roof to look at the sirens. So did they work or didn't they work? In fact, suppose on May 9th, a real emergency took place and the early warning system went off and nobody heeded the warning. And people are frying in the streets like cheap bacon. And multitudes perish. Didn't the alarms work? Oh yeah, they worked. They didn't work in the aspect of the end product that's desired, but they worked. And at least in that sense, Gnae is not liable. We gave you a fair warning. The alarms worked. In that sense, preaching works, number one, because it pleases God. Number two, because it sounds an alarm and gets the blood off of our hand. And that's how Larry Kraft can sleep at night. Along that same vein, Revelation 8, Matthew 23. Revelation 8, Matthew 23. All right, Revelation 8 and verse, what those ladies were singing about, those angels doing that stuff, that's what you're looking at here at the end of the world. Verse 12, "One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God." Now jump over to chapter 9 and verse 10. Keep your finger in Matthew. Oh, man. I messed that up, didn't I? 8:12. Thanks for telling me. I know you're so humble you wouldn't want to correct the pastor. That's why you never correct your husband when he does it, right? Amen. See, my wife's not here. 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, this is a bad day, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And behold, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet." Okay, so now we go to 9:10, I'm sorry. "And they had tails like unto scorpions," no thanks, "and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue Abaddon, in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And one woe is past. Behold, there come two more woes hereafter." Matthew 23. This is our Lord speaking to the religious people. He's very ecumenical, very tolerant. I'm being facetious. My wife would say sarcastic. Matthew 23:13. "But woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a pretense, make long prayer, therefore shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And he goes on and on. I think there's like nine here. There's 98 woes in the Bible. And not one of them is good. Now look at 1 Corinthians 9. I don't want no woe on me. I got enough woes. 1 Cor 9:16. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid on me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Preaching works because it pleases God. Preaching works because it sounds an alarm and gets the blood of the unsaved off my hands. And preaching works in that it takes the woe off of me, at least that woe of preaching not the gospel. 98 woes in the Bible, none of them good, and nestled down in there is this passage right here that says, God said, if I don't preach it, I got a woe on me. I don't like that woe. No to the woe. I got enough issues without that woe. Preaching works because it pleases God. Preaching works that it sounds an alarm, gets the blood off our hands. Preaching works that it takes the woe off of me. So when you're out there telling people about Jesus in a public place, like every single preacher in the Bible did, especially Jesus Christ, and most of his preaching was outdoors, and some Christian doofus comes up and says, "Do you think this works?" You say, "Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it works. We're 3 for 3. It works, number one, because it pleases God. It works, number two, because it takes the blood off my hands and sounds a warning to the unsaved. And it works, number three, it gets this woe off of me, because woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Have you preached it lately? Titus chapter 1. See, this is an encouraging message. This will let you come home, be it at work, be it from school, whether you're a teacher or a student, or be it from a church service, be it from an invitation to a friend, no matter what it is, you preach the gospel, you don't have to hang your head and say, "It doesn't work. Maybe we should get the dancing girls." Nay. Because then you're going to have to deal with this woe. Okay, who was ever in my Titus class? I want you to stand. I'll get you started. All we got to get is verses 1 through 3, nice and clear. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Sit down. That's what you call carrying the whole team, Caleb. Preaching works in that it manifests the Word of God. He manifested His Word through preaching. Now, I'm going to tread lightly here. It didn't say through reading. Manifest, clearly revealed to the eye or the understanding, open to view or comprehension. I hate when people read definitions, but I do it anyway. Manifest is a formal way to say that something is apparent to the senses. God was manifest in the flesh. And more specifically in our New Testament, He is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same as with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was seen in a man by men. So when we preach these words, we take the words of God, and when I say man, you know I mean mankind, man, woman, boy, girl, and we reveal them, we manifest them because they are coming out of an audible mouth, out of something visual that they can see. Now here's what it says. That's why it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. They got to get faith. You got to, for by grace are you saved through faith. They're going to get saved, they got to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Not reading? Well, I suppose you could hear with your heart, right? If you read a gospel tract, you could hear. But it says faith cometh by hearing. And the fact is, they're probably not going to read the Bible that's sitting on their dusty bookshelf, if they even have one. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how shall they believe in whom they have in him and whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a? Most Christians don't read the word of God. Let alone, boy, I hope they pick up their Bible. But when we preach the word of God, we manifest it to men. He manifested. It comes alive through preaching. You think preaching works? Yeah, it works in that it pleases God. It works in that it sounds an alarm and gets the blood off my hands. It works in that it takes this woe off of me that if I don't preach the gospel, and it works in that it manifests, it puts His word in a man. I'm sure glad about that. I'm sure glad I don't have to measure success by Jonah or Pentecost or Acts chapter 4. Working does not hinge only on masses responding. Hold your head high when they say no, because preaching works. 1 Corinthians 2. Make you want to preach, don't it? And leave the results to God. First Cor 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How do you demonstrate the Spirit? You preach. Yeah, but you say, well, that guy was powerful. He wasn't powerful there. He was weak in bodily presence. He came in fear and trembling. There was no enticing words of man's wisdom. They say if he walked in a church today, we wouldn't have had him up. But God said it was the demonstration of the Spirit. That Kirby man called me about 20 years ago. I want to shampoo your carpet for free. Well, I may not be Joe Matichera, but he gonna bite off more than he could chew, because I'm fitting to get me a deal. He don't know that my family room is 660 square feet. It's the garage transformed. Oh yeah, I'd love to have you come and clean my vacuum and then shampoo it. I'm gonna get him good. And he came, Aaron, and he, you know, we ran our vacuum like they do, and they put the little doily in there, and you take it out, dirty. Every time he did, it's dirty. Now, I heard that Miss Linda about 20 years ago, she said, "Can I run mine over after you did yours?" See, it keeps sucking no matter if it could, whatever it is. Anyways, man, he did that thing. He shampooed 660 square feet of carpet, and it came beautiful. I said, "How much?" "Right now, $1,600. "Forget it. Forget about it." We're bickering and stuff. And so see, here's what, he softened me up a little bit. Because it worked. Not because of what he told me it did. He demonstrated it. See, the Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment. But part of that conviction and demonstration of that Spirit, it comes through the demonstration. By the time he left the house, he said, "Listen, if I sell so many, I win the trip. Can you give 700? I said, "Honey, get the checkbook." I was humbled. I was humbled that day. You know what got me? The demonstration. No thanks, no thanks. But what did he do? He demonstrated it. Well, do you think this works? Yes, because God said, and I got to believe it by faith. When I stand there and tell it, be it at my workbench, be it at my homeschool table, be it at my college table, be it at my workplace, it demonstrates the Spirit of God. You have to keep your head up. Second half of the verse, and you know the verse in 160, not only does it demonstrate the Spirit of God, it demonstrates the power of God. In fact, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power. Oh, I want the power of God on my life. Listen, by faith, just believe what God said, that if you open your mouth for Him and tell the old story, that's the power of God. Did it work? It worked awesome. I mean, God was all over me. He was. I thought it was a dud. You ain't calling the shots of what the power of God is. God does, and I opened my mouth and said what He wanted me to say. Little 12-year-old preacher from Young Men. That's the power of God. It works. I don't care if you're Nathan Schwatter on Wednesday night calling down fire when you're preaching on digging wells. Man, that got me good. We're out there in that snow yesterday. He was out there with his wife. He goes, "We're on a date." I said, "That's a man of God's date right there, girl." Or you're Kate Minkiewicz witnessing to some of her students that she keeps that not a lot of people care about. When you open your mouth, it's the power of God. I'm telling you, it works. Don't abandon it for the dancing girls. Ephesians 3. If you get this message, it'll change your life. I know we use that term loosely, but I'm telling you, the world and the flesh and the devil, when it comes time to present, when it comes time to go public, when it comes time to say it, be it grandma or the neighbor or the street corner or whatever it is, everything in the world, the flesh and the devil said, it's not going to work. And you just say, yes, it is. Ephesians 3, we'll just read quickly 1 to 8. Ephesians 3, 1 to 8, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of, he's in jail. Do you think it works, Paul? Listen, if masses responding is the only element that matters when you ask the question if it works, no, it don't work. But watch what he says. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known as it is of the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same promise and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel, where I'm made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me, the effectual working of his power. What's he doing? He's preaching unto me, who am the least of all saints, is the grace of God given that I should what? Preach among the Gentiles. I'm telling you, it's the power of God. Preaching works in that it pleases God. Sounds an alarm to get the blood off my hands. Takes a woe off of me. Manifests the Word of God. Demonstrates the Spirit of God. Demonstrates the power of God. Luke 4. How many visitors did we have, Dan, on the Christmas concert? 170, did you say? 170. I saw one come back, I think, last week. Did it work? Hallelujah, it worked. Woo! Luke 4:43. And he said unto them, I must preach. This is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of God to other cities also, therefore, and I say, it works in that in one aspect, it makes me a little more like Jesus. Oh, those people are so Christ-like. What do you mean when you say that? Not without opening their mouths, they're not. This is a huge aspect of, I want to be like Jesus. Preaching doesn't work. Yes, it does if you want to be Christ-like. Last one, back to Jonah 3. Full circle. Verse 5, so the people, I'm assuming all of them, because it says from the greatest down to the animals and everything, if you can figure that out, of Nineveh believed God. Preaching works. And that sometimes sinners respond in mass. Historians tell us 120,000 people. Acts 3,000 one place, another place 5,000 men. We assume there was probably at least twice that much. Wouldn't you love to see that? Let me help you to see it today. Listen close now. If you're in this room and you were saved in your lifetime, raise your hand. Pretty good. You know, the church I came from, I'm pretty sure they're still preaching the gospel. I don't know how many people are there today. I'm going to guess 1,200 people, 1,500 people. I preached for Tom Street down in Naples on a kickoff his Bible conference a Wednesday in August. There's a good 100 people there. I bet most of them saved. Nick Russo over there, Walker, great kid, man. He got 100 people anyway. Joe Perticone, I just preached for him as his men's rally. He got a good 100 people there. I don't know how many Hal Roscoe has, but I know at this youth ablaze that he's going to be doing, there'll be 1,500 believers there. I think Southeast over there on the other side of the city has a couple, 250 people. I didn't mention Lighthouse, Gospel Light, Open Door. I preached for a friend in Texas. He got about 350. I preached for a friend in South Carolina. He's got about 400. I preached to a prison down in Texas. There was a good 200 people there on Sunday morning. I saw a guy walk out. There was no place to sit. I preach at one church in Florida. It's about 300. Another one's about 250. I'll preach in Tennessee in June. There's 100 people. I'll preach in Alabama. There's 100 people there. I just rattled off, listen, 5,000 people. Pretty good hall. Fill the Dome Arena. Now it took a lifetime. But that's a lot of people. I'm just making the point that when we say, does preaching work? What we really mean is not only does it work to convert masses of people, we really mean, does it work to convert masses of people in a very short period of time? Because in America, in our lifetime, with what we've seen, that we personally could know 5,000 people, and we've not talked about our missionaries. Keep preaching. Preach to your students. If you're a student, preach to the students. Don't complicate it. Just tell them that Christ died for their sins, he was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scripture. Preach to the strangers, preach to your family, preach to your co-workers, and whatever you do, don't complicate it. Because if you do, you're either going to zip your lip or come up with all kinds of shenanigans and carnal enticements that are unbiblical. I'm telling you, preaching works. You know the last thing Jesus said? Go ye therefore into all the world and entice them with some worldly slop. No, he said, preach the gospel. You know why he said that? You think he knows anything about it? I'll tell you why he said it, because it works. Works in that it pleases God. Works in that it sounds an alarm and gets the blood off our hands. Works in that it gets a woe off of our back. Works that it manifests the word of God. Works that it demonstrates the spirit of God. Works that it demonstrates the power of God. Works in that it makes me a little bit more like Jesus. And sometimes, we talked about digging that well, remember? I got up and said, every time they hit water, there's a second last shovelful. You know, we think it's over. Listen, the darkest days in the revivals were before the dawn. The darkest days were prior to Josiah in the Bible. This was a heathen land. Let's not throw in the towel just yet. And I know where we're living, and I know what all the legislation is saying, but I'm telling you, we serve a great God. One more witness. You might hit water. Let's stand. Pastor, come and lead us in a...